Cynthia, did you have any special songs or anything you wanted to do? You didn't? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. As the offering's passing, I'm going to pray a little bit before I start speaking. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to have your way here today. I ask you to just flow through me, Father. The words that you've given me today, let them be spirit and life to everyone who hears them. And let us, Father, go forth and be doers of this word and not only hearers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first scripture I'm going to share with you today is Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. And it goes like this: they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they shall turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. You know, in the book of Job, one time, when God was speaking to Job, he asked him, Job, where were you when the morning stars like sang for joy? And Job couldn't answer him. And, you know, Job wasn't aware that he was one of those stars. But I want you to know that Peter told us that we're to take heed to a light that shines in a dark place until the day star arise in our hearts. And I got news for you. You are the stars of God. You are the stars of God. Everywhere that you go, you can illuminate the things of God. You can show his presence. You can have an effect everywhere you go. The next scripture that I'm going to share with you is Romans 8, 19 through 25. And this is out of the Weymouth translation. It says, for all creation, gazing eagerly as if with outreached neck, is waiting and longing to see the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation fell into subjection to failure and unreality, not of its own choice, but by the will of him who subjected it. Yet there is always the hope that at last the creation itself would also be set free from the doldrum of decay, so as to enjoy the liberty that will be attended the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation is groaning together in pains of childbirth until this hour. And more than that, we ourselves, though we possess the Spirit as a foretaste and a pledge of the glorious future, yet we ourselves inwardly sigh as we wait and long for open recognition as sons through the deliverance of our bodies. It is this hope that we have been saved, but an object of hope is such no longer when it is presented to view. For when a man has a thing before his eyes, how can he say he hopes for it? But if we hope for something which we do not see, then we eagerly and patiently wait for it. And I think if we would really understand, that's where the body of Christ is right now. They're eagerly and wait and patiently, hopefully patiently, sometimes not too patiently, waiting for the manifestation of God to come in fullness. But I'm going to tell you, you can't stop it. It's going to happen. God's word declares it. I don't care what you do or what you don't do, it's going to happen. Praise God. Another scripture I have for you is 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. I got news for you, folks. You can't change yourself from glory to glory. Only God can do that. And I got news for you. He's going to do it, and he is doing it. As we behold him, even in a glass darkly, we don't see it clearly yet, but we're going to begin to see it clearer and clearer and clearer as time goes on. And the next scripture I have for you is 1 Corinthians 15, 22 through 28. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end. Then shall we have delivered up the kingdom of God even to the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he hath put down all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things were put under him, it is manifest that is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued to him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. All in all. There's coming a time, folks, when the Lord is going to, he's going to cut this thing short, and he's going to cut it shorter than we think sometimes. And a lot of times we think we got to be doing something to make it happen, but I got news for you. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And he's beginning to reveal himself to us in greater and greater ways, and he's going to continue to do that. When I came in this morning, Sister back there gave me a great greeting. She told me, oh, there's a beautiful creation of God. I believe that's the way you said it. There's something along those lines, wasn't it, Sister? There's a beautiful creation of God. And you know, I want you all to know, every one of you are a beautiful creation of God. He makes no junk. I like that song that Blaine used to sing, God don't make no junk, you know. And Blaine makes some funny songs, but there's a lot of truth in the songs that he makes a lot of times. And I got news for you. God don't make no junk. There's none like you in all the earth. You know, our young sister, I told her, come up here and sing this morning, and she was a little reluctant. And she told Sherry, won't you come and take my place? Grandma, come and take my place. And you know what I said to her? I said, can't nobody take your place. And I got news for you, folks. There's no one who can take your place and the purposes that God has for you in your life and toward creation. No one can take your place. You are a special creation in God. There's none like you. None like you. There's nobody else on the face of the earth that's like you. But I tell you what. That new creation man, that last Adam, Jesus Christ, he's changing us into that image. And I tell you, when he changes us into that image, all creation is waiting to see that happen. You know, Jesus prayed what I call his high priestly prayer in John when he said, Father, I pray that they might be one as you and I are one, you and me, and me and them, he said, and then the world will believe. The world's not going to believe because you send evangelists out. The world's not going to believe just because you send missionaries out. The world is going to believe when it sees a people stand up as one in Christ and begin to say and do exactly what the Father says. And that's when we will become the voice of many waters, the voice of a great multitude, all saying the same thing, bringing glory to God. Now, right now out there in the church, they're saying a lot of different things. But I got news for you. The day's coming when that's going to stop. That day's coming when all of a sudden he's going to begin to take the muck and the mire off of the religious system out there. And he's going to begin to move in his people. And they're going to begin to speak the same thing. Now, like I told you, when it's kind of funny. When I came in, she made that statement to me, and it made me smile. And she was just bubbling over when she said it. And I thought, well, God, you're confirming what you're going to have me share here. And I'm going to read you this thing, and it's called Becoming More Like Him. Okay? And here's the way it goes. From 1508 to 1512, the artist Michelangelo lay on his back and painted the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican. But smoke and pollution began to mar Michelangelo's magnificent artwork, and it began to fade almost immediately. Within a century of completion, his work, no one remembered what his original fresco had looked like. I don't know this guy's name. I think you call him Baggio Blaghi or something like that. I don't know, I can't pronounce his name. It's an Italian name. Described in 1936, what we see, the colors of the Sistine Chapel, as if through a smoked glass. And you know, we see the Lord through a smoked glass. In 1981, a scaffold was erected to clean the fresco that adorned the chapel with a special solution. Fabio's Michelli and Junglini Concilio, or whatever it is, gently washed a small corner of the painting. The results was stunning. No one had imagined that beneath the centuries of grime laid such vibrant colors. For the next 8 years, it's funny that it was 8 years. You know what eight signifies in Scripture? New beginnings. New beginnings. For the next 8 years longer than it took to paint the original work, the ceiling was carefully restored. The task was completed on December the 1st, 1989. The results was breathtaking. For the first time in nearly 500 years, people viewed this masterpiece the way it was intended in all of the color and beauty. And I want you to know that you are a masterpiece. There is none like you in all the earth. You are special. You're completely unique. You're completely special. And God created a masterpiece when he created you. Now, everyone isn't seeing you as God created you to be. They're seeing a lot of the muck and the mire and the smoke and the grit and everything else. But I got news for you. God's about to bring forth a people with a word that's going to begin to wash the muck and the mire off. He's going to begin to bring forth a new beginning, a new creation. And when he brings it forth, people are going to stand back in complete awe of what God has done. Because they're going to see the beauty of the Lord, and he's going to be residing in his temple, which know you not that you're the temple of God. And I'm going to tell you, just like this fresco, until the one little corner was cleaned off, nobody had any idea. Because all of the people that were there when it originally was painted were gone on. But they had no idea of how beautiful the colors and how vibrant the colors were. And it's still just a humongous masterpiece painted on that ceiling. But I want you to know, you're God's masterpiece. You're his masterpiece. My next scripture is Colossians 1:28. And it's talking about Jesus, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's what he's called you to do. He's called you to present other men perfect in Christ Jesus. Just like he called Paul for that. He has the same calling in your life. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 through 24. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you also who will do it. And I want you to know he will do it. You might hit some little chinks in the road. You might hit some little places where you think, oh, God. But I'm going to tell you what. He that begun a good work in you is going to perform it. You know, we've heard some pretty good sermons here in the last few weeks, you know. We heard a really good sermon from Brother David where he talked about, really was talking about mistaken identity is what he was really talking about. He was talking about that man doesn't realize who and what he is in God, and he doesn't, and he's searching for his identity. I mean, we search for it in all kind of things. We search for it in cars and planes and motorcycles and in vacations and island homes like we were talking about. But you know what? That's not your identity. Your identity is in Christ. That's the only place you're going to find it. And, you know, in 1 Philippians 1 through 6, and this is out of the Message Bible, it says, there has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that God, who started this great work in you, will keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day Jesus Christ appears. And I got news for you. Them that look for him shall he appear a second time without sin unto salvation. And I got news for you. It's time for us to begin to say, Lord, come, Lord Jesus. Come in me. Come into my life in a greater way. Begin to reveal yourself. Take the lid off. You know, that scripture that I read in Romans where it says all creation groans and travails and waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. They're waiting for the lid to be taken off. There's a lid there. We've been covered with a lid, and it's a lid of the flesh. They're waiting for that lid to be taken off. And when that lid is taken off, the thing that's going to be seen, they're going to say, oh, my God, how beautiful. How beautiful. And I got news for you. When people saw Jesus, Scripture tells us that in the natural, he was not a beautiful man to be desired. It said that there was nothing in him to be desired if you looked at him in the natural. But I got news for you. He was all of the beauty of God on the inside. Oh, my goodness, when Peter and John and them went up into the Mount of Transfiguration and they were up there with him and the inner light began to break to the outside, oh, my God, they couldn't even stand on their feet. They fell down and they heard a voice saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And you know, Peter at one point was saying, well, let us build three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah, because he saw them talking with Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, folks, when the people who've passed out of this world into the step through the veil to the other side, they're over there saying, come on, come on, folks, come on into this thing, come on. We want to see you come to the fullness of it. Because we can't totally come to the fullness of it until you do. And I'm going to tell you why. It's coming to a place where he's going to begin to reveal to us what he's doing. And I'm going to read that 1 Philippians chapter 6 to you out of the Weymouth Bible. It says, for this I am confident that he has begun a good work within you and will go on to perfect it into the preparation of the day of Jesus Christ. And I got news for you. Like I said to you before, the voice of many waters, a great multitude saying the same thing. That's what took place in the book of Revelations when John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and he saw Jesus Christ. But what he really saw was the fullness of the body of Christ standing up as a mature man in the earth. And when he did, it was so glorious that he totally became undone and he fell down like one dead, basically. And the Spirit had to set him up, you know. And I got news for you. When they begin to see the body of Christ stand up as one man in the earth, the glory is going to be so great that they're going to fall down and they're going to say, oh, God's in you of a truth. God's in you of a truth, because they're going to begin to see him as he is. And I got news for you. When they see him as he is, Scripture says, then they'll be just like him. And we have to see him as he is. But I want you to know, folks, God's going to do a wonderful thing. I love the message that Rich shared a week or so ago. It was very, very good. Very good. And it went right along with the things that David had said, too. And I want you to know that what David said, that was a very good message. And I want you to know, we have a tendency, we have mistaken identity. We want to identify ourselves with this fleshly man. And Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And I got news for you. As we begin to acknowledge the Christ within, the Spirit of God within, it's going to begin to break to the outside. You know, in Romans, the 12th chapter, I'm going to read that to you so I don't misquote it. Romans, the 12th chapter, it talks about, let me get back to it here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I got news for you. Sometimes you feel like you're not very acceptable unto God. There's times when you feel like, boy, I can't approach God. I can't get in God's presence. I really messed up today. I did something I shouldn't have done, or I said something I shouldn't have said, or whatever. Present your body a living sacrifice. Give it to the Lord and say, Lord, I present this thing to you. You're the only one that can change this. You're the only one who can overcome these things in my life. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And when he tells you to be not conformed, he's saying don't be made into an image of the world. I got news for you, folks. We let the world form us too much. We let the fashions get us too much, where we got to be fashionable or we got to have a certain kind of car. Don't you think that those people on Wall Street know that? And when they put those commercials on television, that's why they'll have a Honda commercial or something and they'll say, fly away, fly. You know, because we'd all like to fly away once in a while and get out of our mess. You know, they play on our desires and they play on our our wants and stuff. And you know what? Those things are never going to meet us. They're never going to set men free. The only thing that's going to set us free, when we present our bodies a living sacrifice and we become transformed. Transformed, that word is metamorpho. It means to be metamorphosis. And you know what happens in a metamorphosis? Something that's one-dimensional becomes a two-dimensional creature. A tadpole becomes a frog. Then guess what? He can go in the water or he can come out of the water. But you know what? He can't stay in the water all the time because he can't breathe in the water. He has to come out. And you know, we're in this world, but we're not of it. And we have to function out here in the world, but we're not of it. And we need to quit acting like we're of it. We need to start acting like we're special. We are special. You're special. I told you that. There's none like you in the whole earth. You are a king priest unto God. When you were born again, you were born into the family of the king. You know, I was watching television this morning, and they was talking about all of the press and just showing them around the hospital and around the palace and all this kind of stuff, just waiting for that baby to be born over in England. Just waiting. Just, I mean, they showed little places. They had little strips of, like, what do they call it, stuff, that tape. Everybody uses duct tape all over the ground, and that was their spot. And it was only, like, a foot by foot, a couple little spot. And each one of them reporters and stuff had a certain spot that was their spot and they could stand on. And they're sitting there with anticipation, waiting for that baby to be born. And just cameras and everything. And they said, you know, they were joking about getting a little boring, and when people would come and talk to them from another place or something, it would liven up their day a little bit. But let me tell you what. Scripture tells us that all creation, and Philip says, is standing on tiptoe. On tiptoe. Waiting to see the glorious sight of God's sons coming into their own. And I want you to know, when you were born again, you are that royal family. You are that prince, that going to be king, and he's the king of kings, but you are that king that he's bringing into the earth. You are that priest he's bringing into the earth, the Melchizedek priesthood order. And it's an order of blessing. And he's called all of you to move into that order of blessing. That's why we're to bless and curse not. That's why we can come into a situation that's a bad situation. Instead of looking at the terribleness of the situation, we can begin to bring light into it and begin to bring life into it and begin to bring blessing. And we should be dispensers of the bread and the wine. Melchizedek in the Old Testament, all he did when he appeared unto Abraham, he brought forth bread and wine, and he blessed him in the name of the Most High God. El Elyon, the Most High God. And I got news for you. That wasn't some different God than Jesus. Jesus said, Father, glorify me with the glory I had before you, with you before the world was. And you know what the glory he had with the Father before the world was? He was the Father. He was the Father. Him and the Father were so one, he was the Father. And I got news for you. When he said in that prayer I told you in the Gospel of John, he prayed that we might be one. And he said, and Father, the glory that you've given to me, I've given it to them. And you know what the glory he gave you? That of being a son of God. That of being a son of God. That of ruling and reigning with him. That of having the authority to change things, situations you come into as you begin to speak forth the word of life. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, that's about all I had to share with you this morning. And I will tell you this. I know it seems like in the natural sometimes that we're a long, long way away from this thing. But I want you to know, the minute that that baby is born over in England, it's going to be a prince. It don't have to grow into being a prince. It's a prince. When my son was born, Mark, he was a bowling the first day he was born. Now, you know what? He wasn't all he was going to be. And he had some growth processes to go through, just like we do. But he had the last name. And I want you to know that in Christ, the day that you gave your life to him, you were born anew and afresh. And you were born into the very family circle of God. And you were adopted into that family circle. And you have all the rights of a son in that condition. Praise the Lord. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Go ahead. Yeah, you got a song? Okay, let's do a song here.
I really felt like I was supposed to sing this last week when Rich was speaking, but today it was just kind of confirmed. And this is just a song that says, "He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it."
Amen.
And I know some of the singers know it, and you can sing with me too. If the trouble you're facing is slowly replacing your hope with despair, or the process is long and you're losing your song in the night, you can be sure the Lord has his hand on you. Safe and secure, he will never abandon you, for you are his treasure and he finds his pleasure in you. Now he who began a good work in you he is faithful to complete it. He is faithful to complete it. He who started the work, he is faithful to complete it in you. Now he who began a good work in you, oh yes, he who began the good work in you, yes, he is faithful to complete it. Yes, he is. He's faithful to complete it. Yes, he who started the work, he is faithful to complete it in you. Yes, God is faithful to complete it. Yes, he is. He is faithful to complete it. Oh, yes. He who started the work, he is faithful to complete it in you.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your words, their spirit and life. And Father, I just ask you to help us all begin to realize that you've created a mighty masterpiece in each one of our lives. We don't always see it, Father, because sometimes there's smoke and there's muck and there's mire on it. But Father, I just thank you that by the washing of the water of your word, you're cleaning it up. And creation is going to see a glorious, glorious thing when we all stand up as one in you. And I just thank you for what you're going to do. And I ask you to just bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. And if anybody would like prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. God bless you all. Yes. Yes.